We trust it'll be a blessing to you. Isaiah chapter number 41 this morning. I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say. This is God speaking, and it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and will not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What a tremendous passage of Scripture. I want to read you two other verses. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 7 says this, Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And then in James chapter number 2 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Three times in the Bible, we find that Abraham was called a friend of God, and God was his friend. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we are thankful today that we've got a friend in thee, a friend that'll never leave us nor forsake us, a friend that'll be there to help us, a friend that desires to have a relationship with us. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you'd help every person here, whether young or old, to understand the importance of having a relationship with God. Pray, Lord, for your blessing, for your hand of guidance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank you all for coming out today for Friends and Family Day. What a blessing to have good friends and good relationships. May I say that there's throughout the world, there's a lot of folks that walk through life and they never take time to develop a good relationship with people and to have good biblical friends. You know, when I was growing up, I thought I had friends. And then you get saved and then you find out who your real friends are. But thank God for good relationships and good friends. In these three passages of Scripture, I want you to notice several things. Number one, the Bible says here in these three passages, number one, that God was Abraham's friend. But not only that, he was a friend of God. You know, a relationship, it only works if it goes both ways. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, listen, it needs to be a give-and-take situation on both sides. If it's only one person that's in the relationship and the other person is not in a relationship, it's really not a relationship. The same way with friends. If you are a friend to somebody but they're not a friend back to you, that friendship is not going to be what it needs to be. I'm here to tell you today that not only does God desire to be your friend, but in order to have that relationship work, you need to be his friend. And Abraham was not only the friend of God, but God was his friend also. And that's what made the relationship with Abraham work so well. And this morning, I'd like to bring you just a simple message. And young people, I'm glad that you're in here, because in life, you're going to realize how important it is to have good friends. And there'll come a point in time in your life when you'll think that you have friends, and all of a sudden you'll realize that they're not really just friends, but they're there and they use the relationship, and then when they're done with you, they walk away. That really isn't a friend. You know, the greatest opportunity afforded to man is friendship with God. In James chapter 2 and verse number 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Imagine that. Being a friend with the one who spoke the worlds into existence. The Almighty God. The one who knows all, the one who can do all. And he desires to be your friend. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible says that he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He had fellowship with Adam and Eve. That's why man was created, so that he could have fellowship with God. And then sin came into the world, and God came seeking after Adam. And he said there in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam, where art thou? Today, God is still seeking to have fellowship with his people, with his creation. God desires to have fellowship with you. Whether young or old, God wants to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. The Bible says three different times he was the friend of Abraham. But I want you to notice there in Isaiah, that passage that I read, 9 things that God said that he would do for his friend. I just want to give you these. Hope you'll jot some of these things down. It's a great, great passage of scripture. I'm sure that we've heard this before. And a matter of fact, there's even a little chorus that Mark Rogers ended up teaching us about Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. How many of you remember that? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will comfort thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Boy, a great little chorus. And you know, it'd do us well to learn those things and hide those words in our heart through that means. But I want you to notice what God said, those 9 things. Number 1, he said in verse number 9, he says, I have chosen thee. Could you imagine that? The God that created the worlds, he chose Abraham, he chose Israel. And then number 2, it says, I will not cast thee away. You know, down through the past almost 60 years that I've been alive, I've had people that I've befriended, and as soon as they were done using me, they got rid of me, thinking that they were a friend, and certainly they were not. More like a doormat. You ever had someone just treat you like a doormat? Amen? That's really not, and by the way, if you're in a relationship, don't do that to somebody else. Amen. I want you to notice, God said, I will not cast thee away. And then it says, fear thou not. In other words, don't be afraid. When God is our friend, we don't have to be afraid. Regardless of what people say and regardless of what people do, regardless of the circumstances that come into our life, we do not have to be afraid. Amen. And then I want you to notice, he said, I am with thee. I remember as a kid growing up in school, I was glad that I had a few guys that kind of hung around me. They were big guys. I was just a skinny little runt. Matter of fact, when I got married, I was only about 120 pounds. I was so thin, if I stood sideways and stuck out my tongue, you'd think that I was a zipper. That's how skinny I was. I was just a little guy. And you can tell what good cooking has done. Amen. But I'm glad that there was a few guys that was bigger than me and stronger than me that kind of took me under their wing, and needless to say, they protected me. But the Bible says here, I am with thee. God is with us. What a tremendous thought when we stop and think about the God of the universe. He said he was going to be with us. And then it says, be not dismayed. In other words, don't be overcome with life. Don't be confused about life. I'm right here. And then I want you to notice he said, "For I am thy God." By the way, there's only one. And you know what? He told Israel, he says, "I am thy God." The God that spoke the world into existence, the God that went ahead and created man, the God that divided the Red Sea, the God that provided the children of Israel manna through the wilderness. Listen, it is the same God that we serve today. "I am thy God," he said. He said, "I will strengthen thee." Are you weak today? Are you weary? Are you forsaken? Are you tired? God says, "I will strengthen thee." And then he says, "I will help thee." There is no one here today that is in such a poor situation that God cannot help them. And then he says, "I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." A number of years ago, there was a doctor in London, England. And he went to visit this elderly lady in London. She was very sick. She was suffering from malnutrition. It was very difficult days in which she lived, and there was hardly any food to eat. And the doctor said, "Ma'am, you need to get some food." And the house that she lived in didn't have any heat to speak of. She was cold, she was hungry, and she was alone. And the doctor said, "Ma'am, where is your family?" And she says, "I don't have any family. They're all gone." He says, "Well, what about friends? Don't you have any friends that could help you?" And she just kind of hung her head and said, "No, I really don't have any friends." And then she thought for a moment. She says, "Well, I did have one friend when I was a child growing up, but I'm sure that she has forgotten me by now." And he says, "Well, who was that friend?" And she went on to explain that as she was growing up as a child, her family was wealthy and influential, but due to circumstances, they lost everything and then they died, and she became an orphan and there was no one left. But her friend as a child was Queen Victoria. And so the doctor couldn't hardly believe this, and the doctor says, "You know, we'll see if we can try to find you help." So when he got back to the office, he wrote a letter to the Queen, explained the whole situation, thinking, "Well, you know what, this is preposterous. You know, this probably didn't happen, and this lady is just telling me a story." It wasn't long after he sent the letter, he got a response from the Queen. And the Queen said, "I remember that young girl I used to play with. And I have given orders that my friend will have heat in her house and she'll never go hungry again because she was my friend. I'm here to tell you, we have the greatest opportunity ever afforded to us when God is our friend." Amen. Better than the opportunity that we'd ever have if the king or the president or whoever it might be would be our friend. The greatest opportunity is to know God as our friend. That brings me up to this thought. What is a friend of God? What makes someone a friend? And I'd like to share with you just real briefly a few points about what the Bible has to say about what are the characteristics of a friend of God. In Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 19, this is what God said of Abraham. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." That tells me this. A real friend of God is someone who knows God personally and is known of God. When God was ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and their wickedness came up before him in Genesis chapter number 18, God says, I know someone. Even though the whole world may be forsaking me, I know someone that's going to live for me. And I know someone that's going to take a stand. And I know someone that is going to teach their children about God. And his name is Abraham. And the Bible says three times he was called the friend of God. Number one, a friend of God is someone who knows God personally and is known of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know God? I'm not talking about knowing about him. Before I got saved, I knew about God. My mom and my grandma and my uncle went ahead and preached to me about God. I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I knew that he died upon the cross. I knew that he shed his blood for me. I knew that he rose again the third day. Listen, I knew all of that, but I was as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I was lost. And you can know all about God. And you can memorize the scripture, but just knowledge doesn't do anything but condemn you. A real friend of God knows God personally and is known of God. And then I want you to notice also, a real friend of God trusts God completely. In Genesis chapter number 12, we find the first mention of Abraham. It says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And verse number 4 says, So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. A real friend of God is someone who will trust God completely with every aspect of their life. God said to Abram, he says, I want you to leave the Ur of Chaldees. It was the Fertile Crescent. It was the cradle of civilization. It was the richest known part of the world at that point in time. And he says, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything behind. And I want you to go and I want you to follow me. And I'm going to go ahead and show you all the land that I'm going to give you one day. You know how he left? He left by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8 through 10, it says, By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into another place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. How did Abram go out? He went out by faith. Listen, if we're going to be a friend of God, one of the things that we need to understand is this. Number one, we need to go ahead and know him and be known of him. Number two, trust him completely. You know, it's easy to trust God for what we can see. It's a lot harder to trust God when we can't see what he's already promised us. I want you to notice the third thing. A friend of God is someone who is interested in the things of God. In Genesis chapter number 12, he calls Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. In Genesis chapter number 15, he makes a covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 17, he confirms that covenant, the Abrahamic covenant with him. And it says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come out of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born of him that is 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Could you imagine that? No, I don't even want you to imagine that. Abraham, 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old, and God says, you know, I'm going to give you a child. I'm glad at almost 60 years old. Those days are behind me, amen. Now I'm dealing with grandkids. You know what? Grandkids are so much fun. I wish I would have had them first, amen. But you know, Abraham took God at his word. You see, a friend of God is interested in the things of God. In Romans chapter number 4, verse number 18 through 21, it says concerning Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall it be. And being not weak in faith, considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, or God, was able also to perform. You know, that tells me this. God promised him the Abrahamic covenant. He said, out of thee is going to be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the sea, so shall thy children be. And you know what? He took him at his word. And he went ahead and he staggered not at the promise of God, but he went ahead and fulfilled that because he believed God. Listen, a real friend is interested in the things that God is interested in. God was interested in the seed of Abraham, which today we call the children of Israel. May I say, God is still interested in the seed of Abraham and the children of Israel. Regardless of what people say, Israel is still God's chosen people. What is a friend of God? A friend of God is one that is interested in the things of God. A friend of God also is one who obeys God. When God called him to go out of the Ur of Chaldees, the Bible says he obeyed and went out. Jesus said in John chapter number 14 and verse number 15, if you love me, what's it say? Keep my commandments. In John 15:14, Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Why is it that people today say that they're a friend of God, but they don't listen to what God has to say? I want you to notice, a friend is one that enjoyed fellowship with God. Abraham prayed. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 22. It says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. There was three men that showed up at Abraham's tent. And they revealed to Abraham, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And two of them went off. By the way, in Genesis 19, we find those two. Those were the angels of God that showed up at Lot's doorstep. One of them stayed back, and Abraham stood before him, and he began to intercede for the people of Sodom. And we all know the story, how he said, Lord, he says, if there's 50 righteous, would you destroy the 50 righteous in that city? And the Lord said no. And he got him down to 40 and down to 30 and down to 20 and finally got him down to 10. And by the way, there should have been 10 there, because there was Lot and his wife and his two sons and their two wives and two daughters that were married and two virgin daughters. So there should have been 10 people there. But yet there wasn't 10. Lot did not do anything to teach his family about God. And they perished in the fire and the brimstone that fell. But we find here that Abraham prayed and he interceded. And in Genesis 18, 22 and 23, it says, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Then he begins to plead for them. The mark of every great Christian is not their Bible knowledge, but their intimate prayer time with God. You can know all about God, but if you can't get a hold of God, there's a problem. What is a friend of God? Someone that knows God personally. Someone that trusts God completely. Someone that's interested in the things of God. Someone that obeys God. And someone that enjoys God's fellowship. And let me close with this idea. How can you be a friend of God? How can you be the friend to the one that spoke the worlds into existence? I want to give you five things and we'll eat some hamburgers and hot dogs. Amen. I shouldn't have mentioned food. I just lost you right there. How can I be a friend of God? Back in 1978, my wife went to Trinity Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. And the preacher came over to visit her, and make a long story short, my wife got saved. And my wife said, "I want you to go. They're having a revival meeting, and I want you to go and listen to this old preacher preach." By that point in time, I didn't want to listen to anybody preach, especially an old guy preach. But nevertheless, she persuaded me, and I went. And I remember that night when B.R. Lakin was preaching. He preached out of Acts chapter number 27 about life's shipwreck. And my wife brought me down. I thought maybe I could sit on the back pew. She brought me right down to the second pew from the front. I mean, I was literally within spitting distance of the preacher. And he preached, and I thought my wife wrote notes and handed it to him about everything that I did wrong in my life. Because he just hammered me. Every step of the way, he hit me. And then at the end of the service, they gave an invitation. They invited people to come forward. Apparently, the associate pastor knew that I was under conviction by the whiteness of my knuckles and the death grip that I had on the pew in front of me. And he had the audacity to come down and lay his hand on my shoulder and whisper in my ear. He said, "Rick, would you like to be saved tonight?" And I bowed my head. Yes, I would. And I walked down the aisle that night and I gave my life to Christ. And Jesus Christ saved my soul. And he made me a new creature in Christ. At an old-fashioned altar, God saved me in an old-fashioned way. And my life has been changed ever since. So what do you need to do? Number one, you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the only one that can save you from your sin. There is nothing you can do, there is no righteousness you can do in order to try to get you to have forgiveness outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to come to him by faith. And faith alone in Christ. In Acts 4:12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Hey, if you're planning on going to heaven, the Bible says you must be saved. There is no other way. Amen? Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no other way. In John chapter 10, verse number 9, I preached about it last week. Jesus said, "I am the door." There is no other door. There is only one door. The door. You need to come by faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And in James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Listen, you want to be a friend of God by faith, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, look, Lord, I am a sinner, I am lost, and I'm undone, and I need to receive you as my Savior. And by faith, you need to trust Christ today. But through the scripture, we find there's a few other verses that talk about how I can maintain and how I can have faith, or how I can have friendship with God. In John 15, 14, Jesus said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What has he commanded us? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9 that the Lord's promise is not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, it says he's commanded all men everywhere now to repent. God wants us to come to him. He has commanded us to come to him. Jesus commands all men to come to him. In Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can become God's friend by obeying what God said. Obey the command for salvation. Obey the command to walk with him. By the way, are you obeying God's command today? Are you obeying God's command? Then I want you to notice something else. You can become God's friend through fellowship. But you see, the real problem is sin has broken our fellowship with God. There is not a person here that can have automatic fellowship with God just because you're born into this world. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every one of us were born into the world the exact same way. We were born sinners into this world. Our fellowship with God was broken as soon as we were born into this world. Sin has broken that fellowship. Because of that, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The word death is in reference to separation. We are separated from God because of our sin. I'm glad that verse doesn't stop there, but it goes on. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sin has broken fellowship, but the cross of Christ and his shed blood, it's what makes it possible to be reconciled to God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that we can become righteous in God's eyes is to take on the righteousness of the perfect Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. Thank God we have a friend that will always stick to us as close as a brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, you and I may have people that will walk out on us. Marriages, unfortunately, dissolve. Friendships go astray. You ever had, in high school, you ever had those buds that you just thought you were going to be friends with the rest of your life? Where are they at now? I asked that to my son, John. I said, we were talking about friends. He says, you know, about 3 years after we got out of high school, he says, I haven't heard from a single one of them. He says, they were our best, we were best friends. What happened? Well, really probably not biblical friends. Really probably not biblical friends. A real friend is someone that's going to be there. And the Lord Jesus Christ is one that's going to stick closer than a brother. He said in Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. With all that said, I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. Number one, do you have a relationship with God? Just because your mom or dad has a relationship with God doesn't mean that you have one. Just because my mom was saved, that didn't make me automatically saved. You have to have a relationship with God yourself. Do you have a relationship with God? If not, why don't you receive him today? You'll never have a better friend. In John chapter number 1, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him. I remember when I did that. October 30th, 1978, I received him. It's a day that you're not going to forget. It's kind of like your wedding day. I've been married for 42 years now. I'll not forget the day that I married Gail. June 28th, 1975. I remember it like yesterday. It was hot. The auditorium was small. The place was cram-packed. And one of my groomsmen passed over cold. It just knocked him, hit his head on a pew, knocked himself out. The minister said, is there a doctor in the house? Sure enough, there was. They hauled him out and took him out in the hallway and fanned him. Needless to say, that made the wedding go by real quick after that. Praise the Lord. It's a day that I'll never forget. You say, because that guy passed out and hit his head? No, because I married the love of my life. The other things I won't forget either. I'm here to tell you, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it'll be a day that you'll never forget. Jesus died for our sins. And God desires to save us. God showed his love to us through his perfect sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, John 15:13, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Are you God's friend? Are you a friend of God? I hope and pray so. If not, you ought to trust him today as your Savior. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as our musicians come to play through a verse of invitation, I invite you to come today and trust Christ as your Savior. Today, if you've never trusted him, why don't you come? Maybe if you've forgotten about your friend, like Queen Victoria did, maybe you need to be reminded and say, Lord, I remember the day you saved me. But Lord, I haven't been living for you. Please forgive me. And let that friendship be rekindled today. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we thank thee, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for going to the cross and dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you just help us today. Lord, I pray that you'd stir hearts. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as we truly are before thee. And Lord, do a work in our lives that we're not able to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand, please, to your feet?